Chair, you know him as well. You know, coke goes with clip drift.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called clippies and coke.
So as long as it does not disrupt our meeting.
Yeah, well, this evening meeting is a trap. Why to see? Yes, buddy.
Lolly. Lolly.
Good afternoon, Chair.
Yes, I was checking whether we are ready to can start.
I just contacted PLO to double check if the minister has already joined us. He said he's going to come back to me in a minute.
Okay. Just indicate as soon as we are ready.
Okay, Chair. Thanks. But according to the members, we are ready.
Yes, we want to be sure about the minister because we...
Well, the minister, okay, Chair.
Yes, please.
Okay, Chair, okay. Chair, Chairperson, Honorable Matibe,
yes, slowly.
Hello, Chair.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. They say they have mistakenly given a wrong link, but she's joining now.
Okay.
Sure.
As soon as she joins, we can start.
Okay, Chairperson.
I have joined, honorable members. I don't hear any voice. I don't know if we've started or not. My name is Delanda.
No, we're waiting for you, honorable minister.
Oh,
thank you very much for joining. Yeah, thank you very much, honorable members. I think we can start with our meeting. You are all welcomed, and I must indicate up front, today my network is not very friendly. I'm struggling a bit. If I feel like it is not well, I will mute my video just to make sure that the meeting continues well. We are going to receive the presentation by the department on the adjustment budget of the department, and we want to take this opportunity to welcome the minister and her team, the members of the select committee. We'll allow the department to do the presentation and then allow members to engage on the presentation. I will hand over to the minister to give an overview and then the presentation. It's your time, Honorable Minister, and once again, welcome to the Select Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, and good evening to all colleagues and honorable members. I am with the delegation as led from the department, led by ADDG for Born, who is the ADDG for Admin. She will then introduce the team as she invites them to make the presentation. Chairperson, I want to thank the Select Committee for affording us an opportunity to make this presentation today at an opportune time whereby we faced with lots of challenges that we never foresaw happening, COVID bringing another dilemma in the work that we do every day, changing the norm. And as any responsible government, the department had to also adjust to the government's priorities in terms of adhering to that needed to be done. It meant then changing of the priorities, and as we changed the priorities, therefore it impacted also on budget that has been allocated to the department for this financial year. As we have listened to Minister Mboweni, who did the adjustments, and then as the department were also affected in terms of getting some budget cuts, which would lead to us not being able to deliver as her previous commitments that we had made. Therefore, we were then forced to review our priorities. And key to the priorities, honorable members, as you know, is the broadcast digital migration, popularly known as DTT. It's the rollout of spectrum. It's that of merging of entities. It's ensuring that, again, we provide broadband to our people. And as I said, COVID has really exposed our weaknesses in terms of infrastructure and therefore putting a challenge, as I listened to you, Chairperson, stating that where you are, the network is not very good. This is one of the realities that we're faced with, that even though that have access to connectivity and the devices, but still those infrastructure challenges, like the signal that we're talking about. Therefore, working with the industry, we're going to introduce certain interventions, and as the department, we then reprioritized and tried to reorganize ourselves. And as I spoke to the priorities of the department and I mentioned the budget cuts, it therefore meant that if we're saying we're going to cut budgets, whether it's on digital migration or on broadband rollout, it means then we're going to be cutting short of services for the people that must really enjoy those services. Hence, Cabinet therefore gave us an opportunity to say we can go out and seek alternative funding and explore partnerships with the private sector to make sure that we can... Sorry? I can't hear, unfortunately. Chairperson? Honourable members?
There's a background that is making noise.
I think it's somebody that needs to mute him or herself.
Mute.
Yes. if we can.
Please mute, comrade.
The chairperson has indicated that he has a problem with network. Maybe it's him trying to join the meeting. I don't know.
Thank you. Honourable members, may I proceed or wait for the chairperson to come back?
I think you need to proceed. The whip is here.
The whip is here. Thank you so much, yes. Honourable members. And as I was saying, due to the budget cuts, therefore, Cabinet, as we identified key priorities and key priorities for government, number four was the issue of connectivity and the uptake of digital transformation for South Africa. As I made an example earlier, that COVID plunged us into a crisis of getting to realize the weaknesses deeper that we have, but at the same time presented an opportunity for us as the people responsible for the uptake of digital technologies, because now we're even able to have engagements with the honorable members sitting in Pretoria without having to travel to Cape Town, and most importantly, ensuring that there is maximum participation for those that have access even on social media. So as much as we presented with, we were exposed in terms of weaknesses, but for us it also presented as a great opportunity that even government has to prioritize connectivity, because now, just like electricity, is a basic need. So we were therefore given permission to go and partner with the private sector in terms of saying, how do we bring investors to make sure that we can connect our people. As I'm talking to you, honourable members, the team will take us into details, but what we've done, we together with DBSA, we are conducting a feasibility study that will then talk to wall-to-wall connectivity, so that as we engage with private sector, we are clear of how much that is required for us. And of course, on digital migration, as we're looking at students not being able to go to school, others are at school, others, even though when the introduction of digital learning was done to them, they couldn't access due to the infrastructure challenges I spoke about. And therefore, the interventions that we introduced was to say, building from the digital migration program, whereby the department had not, the agency had not spent, and therefore we earned some interest. We then committed that fund to prioritize the DTT beneficiaries or households that have matric-going schools. So the agency is busy with that, and as I said, the ADG and the team will talk to that. Honourable members, I would like to pause there and thank you for giving us an opportunity. And with your permission, I would like to hand over to ADDG to introduce the team that will also be talking to the numbers and the work that we are presenting to yourselves. Thank you so much.
Is the chairperson around?
Yes, I'm not sure whether I'm audible now.
Yes, you are. You are.
Okay. We can continue.
Okay.
Good evening, honourable members, minister and colleagues. Thank you so much for affording the department an opportunity to come and present the adjusted budget to the select committee. On behalf of the acting director general, Mr. Omega Shilembe, we tender an apology for his attendance. He is supporting the deputy minister in a session with the Portfolio Committee on SABC. The team of the department that is represented in this meeting is DDG Ngobeni, that is leading the infrastructure branch responsible for SA Connect and BDM. Also, we have Dr. Mutui with us, responsible for DTT, and we have the CFO, Ms. Joy Masemula, that will take us through the presentation. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Okay, we can continue. We have handed over to you. You must continue until you are done with the presentations.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Good evening, honourable members, minister and colleagues. I will be taking you through the presentation as indicated in front of you. If we can go to slide number 2. Chair, I'm not sure who's controlling the presentation. Oh, thank you. Yes, these are the items that we will be touching on next presentation. Chair, this follows the pronouncement by the announcement by the president regarding the fiscal package, the fiscal support package that is needed towards the COVID-19 spending. Therefore, it was also indicated that the 130 billion will be prioritized within the baseline that has been allocated to the departments. So that's why we are here. Chair, next slide. Chair, the next slide indicates the budget allocation that was allocated to the department before the adjustment, and the department had have been allocated 3.4 billion in that regard for 2020-21 financial year. In the next slide. Yes, Chair, therefore, we, as a department, following that announcement, therefore, we met, and Chair, from the department, the earmarked funds that have been allocated are indicated in the bottom table. We have this SA Connect project, which is allocated 184 million, and also USAF on the BDM new model, 522 million, and also funds going to USASA for the distribution for SAPO for the BDM, it's 178 million. The next slide. Then, Chair, you will see per economic classification, the savings that were declared towards this, the contribution made by the department, out of the goods and services budget, we have declared savings of 33 million. And the bottom table, it's indicating the savings per branch. Next slide. And Chair, I must indicate that the 33 million is these savings were also taken from the line items like the subsistence and travel, advertising, consultants, training, and venues. Those are the items that the department is not going to spend a lot in this financial year. So mainly, this is where the savings were declared from. So, and then it's you would have seen that under Program 2, there was no contribution because of the negative impact on its budget by the unfavorable exchange rate during the payment of the international membership fees. So, therefore, the savings that were declared from that branch have been moved to close the gap that was opened there. And then also on Program 4, which is the SOC oversight, there were no contribution, mainly because this program is mainly driven by the transfers to the entities. Therefore, with further discussions with National Treasury, therefore they it was also decided that on the 522 million on the BDM project, therefore, we can declare maybe savings of 15%, amounting to 78.3 million. So, therefore, these are the funds that were also allocated to USASA on the voucher system. And therefore, Chair, National, as the Minister has indicated on the issue of the funds that were also requested from National Treasury to continue assisting the grade 12 learners. National Treasury therefore granted approval to utilize these funds, which were surplus on the BDM project. These amounts amount to 242 million. And also, we therefore received the allocation letter, Chair. And in total, the department made a contribution of 111 million to the COVID-19 initiatives. Chair, okay, next slide. And then, Chair, on the COVID-19 related matters that have been prioritized by the department, mainly the budget was moved to cover the expenditure on the procurement of the PPE, the sanitizers, the sick bays, the scanners, and also the decontamination of the premises, and also to provide data and tools of trade to all the employees so that they are enabled working from home. And therefore, the department is also in a process of reviewing its 2020-21 annual performance plans in light of the these changes by COVID, and also the presentation will also be made to the minister, and thereafter it will also be tabled and therefore presented to the portfolio committee and also this committee as well, Chair. And then, Chair, I think that's it on my side. The last two slides, Mr. Ngobeni will take us through that. Thank you, Chair.
Good
Thank
evening,
you very much,
Chair.
Mr. Ngobeni.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good evening to honorable members, minister, and colleagues. So I'll take you through the last two slides of the presentation, which focuses on the digital migration progress. So in essence, the program has been planned into phases. So the first phase of the program deals with the depletion of the stock of the set-top boxes, which are in the SAPO warehouse, and work is underway in implementing that program. There's already a substantive stakeholder engagement, and also continuing with the registration, leveraging on other key departments, and also the community work program. Also want to collaborate with SAS as well to ensure that we verify the list of the images. And also then, when implementing the program, we are leveraging on the satellite portion of the digital migration to ensure that where the gaps in terms of the signal, we close those gaps using the satellite. And then with regard to installations, the state-owned entities that's between Centec and USASA have reached an agreement so that Centec, using its capability to roll out the network, but also to manage installations and to ensure that the installations of quality and also there's sufficient coverage to the end users. So Centec has been requested to assist users. And with regard to the phase two, that talks to the voucher system that was approved by Cabinet late last year. And with that, we intend to install the integrated digital TV sets and by issuing vouchers to the indigent households. And what's key to implement that program is actually the affordability of these devices, be it the decoders or the ID TVs, because then the vouchers should be able to be utilized for that, for procuring those devices. And of course, we are using the international standard for digital broadcasting, which has been adopted worldwide and is going to be with us for quite some time. And we are also encouraging those households who have got the capacity to procure their own devices, whether it's a decoder or the DTVs, to go and do that, because that's crucial to complete the whole migration program, so that we don't get hold by that part of the program once we've completed the subsidies to the indigent households. You can go to the next slide. So with regard to the funding, currently the number of indigenous households is about 4.7 million, and 1.5 million of those are already catered as part of the phase one through the set-top box program. And then with that program, we intend to complete migration in the Free State, Northern Cape, and the Northwest, and also Limpopo. And then the remaining provinces then will be covered through the phase two, which is the voucher system. That will ensure that we start with those remote areas so they benefit from the program, and then we move closer to the urban areas as well, who may have the means to also procure the devices by themselves. And I think that this is the end. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I don't know, Minister, is there anything that you want to add before I can give to members? Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Chairperson, you are audible.
You are, Chairperson. Okay, thank you very much. I think we can give to members to engage on the presentation. And I'll start with Honorable Bibi. Honorable Nana will follow, Honorable Clute, Honorable Smith, and then Honorable Ngwenya and Honorable Mudise, in that order, Honorable Minister.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good evening, colleagues, and good evening to the Minister and Head Deputy, and also the officials. We welcome the presentation, which is much detailed, and also thanks for the presentation you have given us before we came to the meeting. Chairperson, I just have got only two questions. The first question will be, which provinces does the department intend to cover as part of providing the decoder subsidy when phase two period starts? In your presentation, slide 10, you have mentioned that you have already covered four provinces for the phase two, and the others will be covered also in phase two. Which are those provinces that will be covered in phase two? And can we get the names of those provinces, please? That's the first question. And then the question number two will be, does the department has the capacity to ensure that proper governance and implementation process of the digital migration are in place ahead of the switch off date of the STB? If yes, can we get the clear plan? Thank you so much, Chairperson. Those are only two questions that I have.
Thank you, Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I would. Some of the issues that I will raise are really not part of the presentation. The first issue, Chair, and I did write to the Minister in this regard. You know, whilst everybody else, Chair, is revising their budgets to meet COVID-19 challenges or difficulties, you have companies such as MultiChoice, the owners of DSTV, who have been hell-bent on milking South Africans, whilst particularly during lockdown 5 and 4. The only thing that was live on TV was the news, and everything else was a repetition of things you watched 10, 15 years ago. Now, I would want to check with the minister, to what extent is he able to speak to companies such as MultiChoice? Because quite frankly, I think it's an unacceptable behavior on their part. Whilst everybody else is trying to make ends meet, people are losing jobs left, right, and center. MultiChoice find it appropriate to milk South Africans of their hard-earned pennies. I'm saying this, Chair, and I'm sure many honorable members will agree with me. MultiChoice or DSTV hasn't revised their rates. They haven't revised their rates to take into consideration the difficulties that South Africans are facing. And moreover, until they restarted La Liga, the Italian Serie A, and the Premier League, there was absolutely nothing live on TV. And I think this conduct is unacceptable. So I would really want to pick the minister's brain in this regard. I know it's not always ideal for the state or for the executive to interfere in private business, but where things of this nature are occurring, surely somebody has got to ring the bell. The second issue, Chair, I would want to check to what extent is the department involved in the district model as introduced by the president. I'm asking this, Chair, because I know O.R. Tambo District Municipality has been identified as one of the districts to pilot the project, or where the project will start, the district model. And fortunately, the minister is from that district municipality. I'm sure she now knows how bad the situation in that district is. State resources are plundered at will by councillors and officials alike. And this is well documented. To what extent is head department involved in the district model? And if indeed they are involved, what are checks and balances have they put in place to ensure that money that government puts in for the purposes of the district model are not used by party leads or training institute for door-to-door that never took place, and many other irregularities that continue in that municipality on a daily basis. And the third one, Chair, relates to the fifth generation. I would want to check with the department, at what stage will they open up for bidding or auction for fifth generation 5G? Thanks, Chair. Because this is holding the country backwards. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kluter.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the Minister for being here as well. I'll also, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and connect my question to the SA Connect initiative of the department. There was a regulation signed today, which basically let mobile networks build a 5G tower on the property. And if you just indulge me, I just want to read an article on this. It was gazetted, a new policy on the deployment of communications networks in South Africa. The policy aims to accommodate the accelerated deployment of electronic communications networks such as LTE and 5G networks. Now, the policy gives mobile networks and other licensees the right to select, enter, and use public or private land for the deployment of the network infrastructure. Any infrastructure built on this land will belong to the network which built it, and property owners are directed to avoid damage to the facilities built on the property. Additionally, owners may not charge companies for building infrastructure on their property except under certain conditions. My question to the Minister is, most probably we will be considering this regulation, but at this stage I'm not sure which regulations we do see and we don't see. Just two questions on this. Has the department in any way considered that business or owners of in towns with properties have they considered that they pay the taxes, municipal taxes, on which infrastructure will be built? And just the next question, and I know we're also in the process of the wireless open access network, where are we now with that? And when does the Minister see it being completed?
Are you done, Honorable Glute?
Oh, sorry. Yes, thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Honorable Smith said he does not have a question for now. I think we can pass him. Honorable Ngwenya? Honorable Ngwenya? Honorable Mudise? Okay. I think we can allow the Honorable Minister and her team to respond to those questions for now, because we can't get other members. Honorable Minister and your team.
Chairperson.
Are there Honorable Mudise?
Chairperson.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, you didn't call me.
I called
okay.
you.
Okay, it means it
I
is
called
what
you, Honorable Mudise. Sorry. I said,
your network.
Yeah, my network is not very good today. Thanks.
Okay. Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, and good afternoon, Honorable Minister. I hear the presenter when he talk about the set-up box that are in some place that they... Yes, it's going to be there. and how much, and is it a value for money to put this setup box there, whereas the people are waiting them at their community? Why they don't take, they speed up to take those things to the community, because the community needs them. The second question, Chairperson, it's on the, oh no, but I'm covered by Honorable Bibi when she asked about the provinces that were not allocated this during this financial year. And then we want to know how soon the next batch is going to come. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because now I'm from the rural, typical rural area, where we need the services, those services to our municipalities. Really, next time, Minister, when you do things, you must look at the provinces like Northwest, where they are too rural. You must please assist the community there in the services. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mdise. We can now allow the minister to respond and their team.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I will respond to some of the questions and I will then hand over to the team for others. Chairperson, I'm going to start with the first question that was raised in terms of a question that was posed on DTT Phase 2, which provinces we're going to cover. As we stated that with the current phase, we're busy with the four provinces. It therefore means that going to phase two is all the other provinces that were not covered, which talks to Eastern Cape, which talks to Western Cape, KZN, Mpumalanga, and all the other provinces. I've forgotten now the list of the provinces, unfortunately, but there are five remaining provinces in South Africa, as we have nine outside the four that is listed here. And do we have a clear plan or capacity on governance on how to manage the distribution of the set-top boxes? And yes, we have been struggling with capacity for a long time, Chairperson and Honourable Members, which is why now we then, through the SLA that we have amongst the entities, we then roped in Centec through the agency USASA, Centec to be the implementing agency or the project manager for the rollout of this phase, therefore building on the capacity that Centec has. And also USASA is in a process of bringing more capacity internally in order to look at those that they are responsible for in terms of phase two. So the capacity issue is something that we were really struggling with, hence we had to then go outside, because the project previously was only project managed from the department, and then we had SAPO as the delivery agents and the warehouse or the logistics hub, and then we had USASA, which was administering and appointing installers and procuring the set-top boxes themselves. So now we've distributed the work amongst the different entities, SAPO, Centec being the project manager, that because of the capability that they have to look into the installations, the quality and everything. In the past, what we've experienced, Honourable Members, if you go to the Free State and other areas, you've had people complaining about the quality of the installations, the boxes are not working, which is why it was important for us to really understand what are the issues. And key to the challenges that we're faced with was the fact that we then hired, initially we had hired installation companies from Gauteng that must go and roll out in Northern Cape and Northwest. And therefore, when the beneficiary experiences a challenge around this decoder, one does not have anybody to call around because the service provider has gone back to where he or she comes from. And that posed lots of challenges, which is why we took a decision to say, let's make sure that installation is localized. Let's give opportunity to the local people, create employment there. And therefore, we make sure that, because if it is somebody that stays in Openema Park in Welkom in Free State or Tabong, he's able to say, I can call because the installers are around, their numbers are everywhere, therefore they can call. It doesn't require lots of traveling costs for the installer to come and make the corrections and all that, which is why Centec will quality assure that installation, checking with the beneficiary and monitoring that process until for a period of 12 months providing that service. The other question that was asked was the minister's role in relation to what MultiChoice has done and the allegation that they are ripping people apart. They did not drop their prices. Their content was whatever that was described by the honourable member. MultiChoice is a private company. The minister is responsible for policy that shapes the entire industry, and the policy imperatives are derived as they are put there. And then there's the regulatory environment that the ICASA or the authority must regulate on, but we cannot go to an extent of saying these can be your rates. Of course, the minister did issue ministerial directives in relation to interventions that must be made by all those that are in the industry. And with the broadcasters, it was the issue of messaging. It was the issue of the educational channel so that people, students can have access to education using the channels of the broadcasters, because one of the things...
Sorry, Honourable Minister. I think you can continue. There was a challenge of network with Honourable Ngwenya. We'll give her an opportunity to ask question after you have replied.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. So yes, there were things that we could do within the law, and that we did. So we couldn't go into detail in terms of their editorial and their rates. Unfortunately, the law does not allow us to do that. It's private sector, as I said. I did forward the message and the response to MultiChoice after the matter was raised to say there are these concerns, and that was all I could do, unfortunately, within the law. Again, another question on our Tambo, that is a pilot for DDM, the department's contribution, ensuring that it's not getting to go to wrong hands and all that. The department does not transfer money to municipalities. The department in our Tambo, the commitment that has been made is to make sure that we provide connectivity through SA Connect for our Tambo, and that is done through our agencies, once more, BBI and CETA, and it is them that do all the work that must be done. If they procure, they procure there. Unfortunately, I can't, am not privy to the names of the service providers that they procure because it's too far from me. But I have not received any information that they have procured services and therefore the people did not deliver. But there's no transfer of money to the municipality. And as I spoke about the broadband rollout in our Tambo, one of the key things again that we did was to make sure that we provide training for the university students that are doing computer science on cloud and the new technologies. And we again trained some students on data science. We will be coming back again for other interventions that we're rolling out. So that's all that we do for our Tambo. Of course, we are again on the ministerial directives that we issued, that of enabling remote working. As you can see, honorable members now are able to interact virtually. This is one of the interventions that we directed to the industry to say, please open up space. Others, they had limited space to say 200 participants, and then we engaged with them to say go to 1,000 or whatever capacity. And then we needed to make sure that where there's a need, we increase bandwidth capacity so that those that are tasked with that work that we are responsible for are able to undertake that work. Spectrum release, when is it coming? The role of the minister in the process of spectrum allocation, of spectrum licensing, is only restricted to issuing a policy or policy direction. It ends there. The minister was appointed in November 2018, having to come on board, had to engage with stakeholders, taking from the work that was done by her predecessor, therefore started engagements as there were lots of divisions trying to get consensus on what is it that we must do, and the minister did that. As a result, in July 2019, the minister issued the policy direction, and her role ends there. Now, the other matter that the honourable member may take interest on, because it was in the media, the issue of the councillors, the appointment of councillors that's done by Parliament that recommends to the minister. The minister has returned to the speaker, therefore awaiting a response on her letter that she has made. But the process is continuing. As we have seen, the letter or the statement that was issued by the acting chairperson or the council in ICASA in relation to the ITA. According to the regulator, the process of high demand spectrum is supposed to be licensed in December 2020. The process around one licensing is what they are looking at, simply because these are two different processes. With a high demand spectrum allocation, it's already existing licensees. And for the one, you're opening up space for a new entrant. Therefore, you have to call or follow all those processes in order to award a license to whoever that would have been successful and then kickstart the process of allocating spectrum. That's what leads to the delay. The policy direction once more then directed the authority to make sure that they issue the ITAs simultaneously, so as to ensure that even one does not get to be left behind, because that will have a negative impact on its takeoff, as we have seen with the previous licenses that could not participate in the economy. As I'm mentioning this, honourable members, we're taking into consideration the fact that when we licensed Vodacom, when we licensed Telkom, government took a conscious decision, including providing assets and support for them to be licensed. And now, as we are talking about one, that we're saying we really need to create an opportunity for the people of South Africa not to only be spectators or consumers in this economy, but also can be effective participants through the one that is seeking to bridge the gap that, or address the imbalances of the past. And therefore, even there, in the one, in the policy that the minister issued, it is also explained or defined in terms of the people that can form part of that, and that government can the role they can play.
Sorry, Minister, you can continue. I think we have got a challenge of sound with Honorable Ngwenya. She's struggling to hear, but okay. you can continue. We'll address it as soon as you're done.
Thank you so much again, Chairperson. And then the other question that was asked was on the issue of the gazetted regulations on rapid deployment infrastructure and the fact that we are saying that they must not pay. This is a COVID-related intervention to say, as we enable remote working, it means there's going to be lots or there's going to be too much traffic on the network, and therefore we will struggle to connect and be able to do our work. Therefore, through the directions again, the minister therefore directed that the authority, as they have done on their side, that they need to issue or provide spectrum relief, and then the industry then has to come together, including the communities, that within this specific period, can we not charge the operators that are deploying the towers specifically for COVID-related period. And engagements were had and were held with the minister responsible for COCTA and all the other stakeholders that are involved. So we do appreciate that people indeed pay taxes, those that own properties, but at the same time we do understand that as they pay for properties, they also have to access services and be able to work when they are not in their buildings. So this is an intervention that seeks to address that. On the set-top box cost, in terms of are we really deriving value when they're seated at the post office? We are losing, honourable member, which is why we said, because there's no capacity, because of the installers that we got from Gauteng to go to other provinces, let's decentralize the process and go to where people are, and therefore we'll believe that it will be then a process that will be fast-tracked because we'll be using local people. And as I said earlier, Centec has been contracted to be the project manager to work with the locals on that. So we are aware that we have lost lots of money and lots of time due to COVID once more. I want to emphasize this because during the period where we're locked down, manufacturers, installers were not allowed to work, which is why we had to wait for this level that then now we're able to say they can go back and kickstart the work that was supposed to be done after having resolved the governance issues, as I mentioned earlier. The Honourable Member again begged that we must assist rural provinces in terms of services. As the department, we do try to work with all provinces, but I want to emphasize that our responsibility as the department is to develop policy. And then through our agencies like BBI, Centec and CETA, we provide connectivity based on the country-approved plan on SA Connect. And we identified 8 districts in these provinces, so we're following that pattern, which is why I said COVID has really exposed us, and therefore government has given us a go-ahead to say let's seek partnerships to make sure that we can fast-track the rollout of connectivity to all the people, which is what was prohibiting us being able to render services or provide services everywhere, because we take into consideration the issue of budget that we are talking about. I just mentioned on broadband because this is the key thing on SA Connect, but I know even on the training programs that we've been running, we identify certain provinces based on the budget again that we have. All the entities, that they do their best, SABC, public broadcaster, broadcast everywhere, but we are trying to make sure that with the little that we have, it's spread across. I would pause there, Honourable Chairperson, and then I will hand over to the ADG and the team to then respond to questions that I may have missed. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Honourable Minister, Acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think if there's any question left, then for DDG Ngobeni to come in, because Minister has covered most of the questions that we've noted, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I also confirm that Minister has covered all the questions. Maybe just to augment on the district delivery model, our participation there, I think we actively participate on the committees that have been established by COGTA, which involves various government departments with the aim of integrating the different sector plans into, you know, that's across the different spheres of government into a single plan for the identified districts. So we work closely with them and we are assisting with the coordination from the ICT point of view. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ngobeni. I'll request honorable members if there are follow-up questions, but I'll start with Honorable Ngwenya. She has been struggling to connect, I think so. Honorable Ngwenya, you can ask the question that you wanted to ask, then I will go to follow-up questions. Honorable Ngwenya? I think she's got a problem of connectivity. Do we have any member who has got a follow-up question? You can indicate and start.
Chairperson, may I continue?
Yeah, you can continue on.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Just a last question to the Minister on that regulations we both spoke about. It appears that owners may not charge companies for building infrastructure on their property except under certain conditions. Can the minister just indicate what those conditions are, please?
Okay. Any other member with a follow-up question? If there is none, Honorable Nana.
Chair, I may have missed some of the responses, but I did hear Mr. Ngobeni talking on the district models. Really, my question, Chair, was not whether they are working with the district municipalities. My question was, if the department is involved in the outrolling of district models, to what extent are they involved? And the second question is zooming into OR Tambo. To what extent are they involved, and what are checks and balances to ensure that resources that are put into those municipalities that are being piloted do not get mismanaged? That was the first one. The second one is on the DSTV rates. I didn't hear the minister talking about it. I know she. Yeah, maybe I missed it, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Nana. You did miss it, but I will allow her to respond again. She did respond.
I'm sorry, Chair. But I'm sorry.
Yes. I will allow her to respond. On those two questions, she responded. Yes. Thank you very much. Honorable Minister?
Lucha, I would request the team to respond to the questions that have been asked, with your permission.
Okay. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson and Minister. With regards to the rapid deployment, in terms of the deployment of the infrastructure, in terms of the directive issued, paragraph 2.6 thereof indicates that property owners will not charge fees where those network facilities are not intrusive, and we make reference there that where the cables will run underground or overhead cabling, so there's no cost to the property owner. Where reasonable access fees can be charged is where those networks or facilities are more intrusive, and to that extent we are saying where equipment such as masks are erected on the property, then a reasonable access fee can be charged. So those are the conditions. So if it's non-intrusive, then we request that no fees be charged, and where those deployment of that infrastructure is intrusive, that a reasonable fee be charged. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ngobeni, are you fine?
Yes, Chairperson, I think I'm covered. It's just safe to say that on this issue of the rapid deployment, I think the basic principle for the approach is to try and balance the rights of the property owners and that of the licensees. And also, if you go to the clause 2.8, it also allows the property owners to object if they where they need to be paid a fee, and then they can lodge that objection with the authority. So I think that's the whole approach that's being taken here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Ngobeni. And thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for availing yourself for this budget adjustment. I will just give you, if you have got any parting shot before we can release you, Honorable Minister. I know you were supposed also to be part of that other other meeting there. You can be able to join there as soon as we are done. Minister?
Chairperson, sorry, I missed the earlier part. My apologies on that. Can you?
I said you can have remarks as we close.
Thank you so much.
I think we are done. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chairperson and Honorable Members, for affording us an opportunity. We will be coming back to you with some details on the broadband, as I mentioned earlier, that we're engaging the private sector. Once we have full details, then we will take you through in terms of the rollout strategy. That will be after we have received the feasibility study and all those things, so that the Honourable Members can then know and be able to communicate with their constituencies in terms of the work that we are doing. We would like Honourable Members also to request yourselves to help us as we're going to be kickstarting again awareness on the digital migration program in terms of the beneficiaries and the criterion that we are putting. As we mentioned, that we'll be clearing the set-top boxes that are in the post office in the other provinces, but then the rollout of the IDTVs, including those that we intervened with on education side. But we will bring the entire strategy, we'll make a presentation to yourselves so that you are also are capacitated to have an understanding when you go and encourage the people. Because it's very important that by the time we license spectrum, at least we would have migrated most of the people. It's in our interest to make sure that South Africans really get that they're supposed to get out of the spectrum licensing ecosystem. And as I said, we really want activism. And in relation to the other programs, as Honorable Members raised, that we need to spread throughout the country. We will again on the interventions, even if, Chairperson, if you allow, even if we are not able to present in the committee, but to share information with yourselves and the constituents so that you can then start sharing with them. Now, I mean the programs that we'll be introducing from August next month. But we will share those details because we are finalizing with our partners, Chairperson. Chairperson, once more, thank you so much to you. And I want to thank the team as led by ADDG Hoedtboom again for making time to come and brief the Honourable Members. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. From our side, we also want to thank you for availing yourself for this budget adjustment. Like you indicated, we'll be having discussion. We still have got an outstanding issue with the BBI. They said they will come and do a presentation. As soon as we are ready, we'll inform you and your team to come and do the presentation in as far as the rollout of the program is concerned. And we want to thank you once again for availing yourself. I think from your side, we can release you. We'll just remain as committee members to check if there are any outstanding issues that we want to deal with as a committee. Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Loli? Can we check if we have got housekeeping issues that we need to deal with before we release members?
There is nothing, Chairperson, except that next week we'll be having a meeting on the 29th. I think the time will be at 12, where we'll be looking at the reports and whatever is outstanding. It will only be the committee, no department or anybody. It's only going to be us. We'll look at the committee report.
Okay. Thank you very much, Loli. And thanks to Honorable Members. It was a very difficult meeting today. Honorable Ngwenya could not even ask a question because of connectivity challenges. But I think we'll make sure, Loli, that all the questions that she had and other questions that members might not have been able to ask because of connectivity, we can get them in writing and then we forward them. to the department so that by the time we meet next week, Wednesday, we are able to get the responses that might be needed from the department. And thank you so much, members, for our participation. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm busy. Ah, he's chewing gum.